Hallelujah. Glory to God. The permit was granted 2 days ago. To God alone be all the glory. Well, let's give God thanks for that testimony. Lift up those hands and appreciate Him. Exalt the Lord God of righteousness. Give Him praise and give Him glory. Give Him honor and give Him adoration. Magnify His holy name. Father, we thank You. Blessed be Your name. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and left with a smile on your face. Tell your neighbor it's a new day for you. Tell your neighbor the Lord is working on your behalf. Something new is about to happen for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Put those hands together and be seated. Hallelujah. Teaching series that we started the first Wednesday of this month. Meet Jesus. Please be seated. Meet Jesus, the great physician, and His great prescriptions. Meet Jesus, the great physician, and His great prescriptions. Anyone and everyone that have a great doctor, not fail to introduce them to others and tell them, come and meet my doctor, the great doctor. That's what we are talking about tonight. That is the doctor of doctors. And so he said, meet Jesus, the great physician, and His great prescriptions. Jesus was the great healer then. Jesus is the great healer now. Jesus will be the great healer until He comes back. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner, not some manner, all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. Matthew 4 and verse 23. Jesus the healer then, Jesus the healer now. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, you see, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, Jesus Christ the same today, Jesus Christ the same forever. He was a healer then, He's a healer now. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. He said, when the even was come, technical, we can hear you here. When the even was come, He brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. Not some, not many, but He healed all. He healed all that were sick. So the anointing for healing over His life is still available today. The anointing over His life was healing all sicknesses then. That anointing is still available to heal all sicknesses now. That's why the Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 10 and verse 38, He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, not some, not most, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Healing all that were possessed of the devil, for God was with him. And healing comes in two ways, as you have identified. We said, number one, there are two ways which Jesus heals. Jesus heals instantly, which means you can be healed instantly in this service. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. Matthew 8, 1 to 4. He said, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And He said, and immediately, is verse 4, Verse 4, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See, thou tell no man, but thou go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Instant healing is available for somebody tonight. Yes. Again, in Matthew chapter 8, 14 to 17, he said, And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. So he was in his house, and then Jesus saw that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And he said, the Bible says he ministered to him, and immediately it left him. And because people saw that it left immediately, they started bringing other people. Come and heal him now. Let it be done immediately. For somebody in this service, your healing will be instant. The second way by which Jesus heals is through a process of recovery. Jesus, just as there is instant healing, there is also a process of gradual healing. That you are not healed instantly does not mean that you are not healed. That you haven't sinned does not mean you are not healed yet. You are healed already, but it takes a process. It takes a process. When Jesus cut the tree, it was still alive. He didn't die immediately. But he died gradually from the root. So when they came back the following day, they said, Hey, Jesus, the root that you caused, the tree that you caused, is died off. He said, Why are you doubting it? If I say it, it happens. It might take some time, but it happens. For some people, it is immediate. For some people, it is gradual. But the truth is, whether it is immediate or whether it is gradual, it is assured. Somebody's healing is assured tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. So what are we talking about? In Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14, it says, And on the morrow when they were coming from Bethany, he was hungry and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Underline that if you have your Bible with you. Underline, and his disciples heard it. Because I'm still coming back to that. And his disciples heard it. What you hear will ultimately become what you become. And I will prove that to us in a while. His disciples heard it. And that was the beginning of their testimonies. That you have not seen it immediately, like I said, does not mean you are not healed. He is the great physician who can scan the root of any sickness and disease. The great physician. You know, when you go to the doctors don't know what is wrong with you. They are only basing their whatever on what you tell them. But they can't take what you tell them without scanning what is wrong with you. So they say, well, this is what you have told us, but we need to be sure of what you are telling us. Am I making sense? So they say, go for a test, MRI test. Go for this test. Go for this scan. Bring the result. The result will actually prove to me what you are exactly saying. How many understand what God is saying tonight? Now, this doctor does not need you to go to any scanner or any whatever they call them. He is the great physician. He is the one that scans you. He is the MRI machine. He knows exactly what is wrong with you. And so he makes his prescriptions based on what is happening. He's the doctor. He's also the MRI machine. He can scan and know the root of every sickness. He knows the root of every sickness based on the scan. One day, look at this physician. He saw a man, and then his disciples misdiagnosed the ailment. His disciples said, This must be what is wrong with this man. But Jesus, the great scanner, said, You misdiagnosed this man. In Matthew, in John's gospel, actually, in chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. John 9, 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Who did sin? So they already concluded this man must be a sinner. It's either he's a sinner or his parents are sinners. So one of them must be a sinner. Why is this upon him? Jesus said, "Well, you have misdiagnosed him. Neither is he a sinner, neither are his parents a sinner. But the reason he's going through what he's going through is because there are people who need to be saved. Jesus, God has put this upon him because there are people who need to be saved." He scanned the roots of the and cause of the problem and concluded on his prescription. Now, verses 6 to 7. When he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He put his spittle, which is not good, and spat in the ground and made bread of it. And made him blinder. Put it in his eyes. I could imagine people looking at him and saying, "Are you okay? What exactly are you doing? This man is blind. You are making him blinder." He said, "You are making him blinder." He said, "Now go, wash in the pool of Siloam." And the Bible says he went and obeyed the King of Glory, and he came back saying. For someone here tonight, you know, I said on Sunday, our weapons are stupid. Our weapons look stupid, but they are the most effective. If you obey the weapon, they are the most effective. For somebody here tonight, whatsoever you came in here with tonight as an ailment, by this time tomorrow, you are returning with testimony. Every ailment of your body is turning to testimony for you. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ. He knows the root cause of all sicknesses and diseases. And based on the root cause is the reason why he's giving us his own prescription. He gives prescriptions based on the root cause. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom they have to do." All things are naked. So to him, everything is naked. Everything is naked to the MRI machine. Not even everything is naked to the MRI machine. But there are some things naked to the MRI machine that scans. Doctors are helpless without knowing the root cause. They don't know. If they don't know, they can't help you. That's why they are sending you to that machine to scan it and tell us what exactly is going on with this person. This is what we think is going on. But the MRI machine might have a different opinion of what is going on. I lost my father in where we are coming from to nobody scanning nothing. Assumption. This is what we think is going on. So in 2 weeks, they cut that man up 3 times. In 2 weeks, they cut him up. And I've been hearing testimonies of other people. "Oh, my father does die. What happened?" They got to the hospital. They said, "There is no water. There is no light." "There is no water. There is no light." Assumption. I mean, you understand where I'm coming from. You won't be a victim. Your parents will not be a victim. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. I said they won't be a victim. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He knows the root cause. These guys don't know nothing. It's all based on assumption and money. Assumption and money. "Oh, well, why don't you bring him to my own personal hospital?
I will have time to take care of him. Glory to God. But somebody is coming out of it now. And because of his cardiac capacity, nobody argues with his prescriptions. If he has scanned you, you cannot argue with his prescriptions. Somebody that has gone with the... Now, when you go to the hospital, the doctor has already done the MRI and everything, and he says, this is the proof of what is going on with you. This is my prescription of what you should do to turn this thing around. You don't argue with them. Arguing with them is the beginning of more complications and more hardness in your life. Most times we have no idea what past doctors prescribe, but we trust the prescription. Prescriptions are made based on the MRI result. How many understand with me? Now, arguing with your physician on his prescription is a risk. You can't argue on what you don't know. Arguing with your... It almost ruined Naaman. Even in scriptures. Your doctor says, you know, this is what we think. Which is what we... Based on this report, this is what you are going through. So this is what we are prescribing. You are now saying, no, I don't think that is what it is. As a matter of fact, I think it's Panadol that should solve it. You are beginning another downfall of your life if you don't go with the prescription of the physician. In the same way, if you don't go with the prescription of the great physician, you are at a risk. Naaman was at risk. He came to the great physician. The great physician prescribed something. He said, no, that prescription is absolutely, I am a lawyer. That prescription is absolutely useless. How can you say that I should go and wash in the pool of Siloam when there is when there is a pool in my mansion that is cleaner than the one you are saying I should go to? That is, I'm not going to take that. And then the prophet will say, whatever you want to take, you will return to me here. Glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Naaman was a powerful man, but a leprous man. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. No matter how great you are, if there is a but in your life, there is a problem. He said, but he was a leper. He was a great man. Naaman, captain of the host of the nation that cannot be invaded. Why? Because of him. He said, but he was still a leper. He still had a problem. And a little girl came to him and said, well, you see, this is your problem. I know somebody. I know a doctor that can fix it. You know, you see, with the great man, with this your sickness, I know a doctor that can fix it. Really? Give me his address. Then the girl gave him his address. And Naaman went there. Look at what happened. Verses 9 to 11. So, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of the doctor. And the doctor sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. He didn't look at the idea. Come here, somebody. Please, can I have somebody here very quickly? Look, when you go to a doctor, here is what happens. Please come here, sir. When you go to a doctor, they put that thing inside their ears. And then they do like this. They want to know exactly what is going on with you. Boom, 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 boom. Ah, it is well with you. They want to know exactly what is wrong with you. So they put that thing. Naaman did not use that. He said, based on what I'm seeing already. He said, no, I don't need to test you. This is my prescription. Go to the pharmacy. Tell them this is what you need. And that drug is bitter. This is what you need. And so as this man is living, he's standing here. He said, what kind of nonsense is this? He didn't even test. He didn't use that thing that he used. How did he know? That's what I'm going through. He's now prescribing the most, what did I say is the drug? Bitter drug.
Bitter drug.
He's now prescribing the most bitter drug. No, this one cannot be a doctor. Glory to God. This is that. Yeah, but he said, well, that is what I'm prescribing to you. The prophet said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse 11. But Naaman was angry and went away and said, behold, I thought he will use his thing to even find out what is wrong with me and stand and call on the name of his God and give me the name of the best, what are they? The people who sell drug? Pharmacist. And give me the best pharmacist and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. What kind of stupid prescription is this one? Not only is the drug bitter, this drug is dirty. And the one that recommended the doctor said to him, you better behave yourself and listen to his prescription. Because I know this doctor. I've worked with him before. Listen to his prescription and obey his prescription. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? And then he began to feel obligated. Verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a child, and it was clean. He told the blind man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and he took the drug, and he became whole. Somebody will be made whole tonight. Amen. I said, somebody will be made whole tonight. Amen. But don't look down on whatever prescription the King of Glory is prescribing. Very quickly, as I begin to round up, what other unlikely prescription? Let's take a look at another prescription today. Another prescription tonight. The prescription of the testimonies of others. The prescription of the testimonies of others. You know, every drug in this kingdom, people look down on, including testimonies. People are sharing their testimonies. Others are accusing them of having too many testimonies. Is it only you? People are sharing their testimonies. People are looking down on their testimonies. What is it? Is it only you? Are you not tired of sharing testimonies? If you let or allow people shut you down on your testimonies, not only are you shutting yourself down on the next testimony, you are robbing others of their testimony. The testimony of others. Oh, you know what? I had a headache. I sat down. I drank the Holy Communion. The headache left. Somebody's like, is this one okay? Headache. Just headache. Until you have it, you won't know what it does. Until you have that headache, you won't know what it does to people. May you never have it. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. That is, he's saying to them, look, every testimony anybody is sharing, make sure you are documenting it. I can never forget, I think I've shared it here before, God's servant, Pastor Isaac Oyedepo, sharing many years ago, he said when they were telling them, every time they attend service, when they were teenagers, he said their mother would tell them, every testimony you hear in church today, you must document it. Document it and I want to see. Summarize it and I want to see it. He said he hated it. It was a burden on him. He said until he became a pastor, until he recognized the importance of what their mother was telling them to do. Document the testimony. The testimony you have documented will be in your heart. It will be in your mind. The testimony you have documented will be easy for you to achieve. Document the testimony. Why? Because testimonies are not, they are not just like that. Document the and somebody is here, he's saying, is he the only one? Why is it you are the only one sharing testimony? Are you not tired? Are you not ashamed? If you are ashamed of your testimonies, God said, I'll be ashamed to give you the next one. Glory to God. Verse 20, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It means anyone that have a testimony and is not sharing it, is because you lack understanding. You lack understanding. Yeah, you know, I'm shy. I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to know my story. God is saying, really? I gave you that testimony because there is somebody inside the congregation that needs it. That's why I gave it to you. So when you share it, somebody inside the congregation will say, what? If he did it for him, he will do it for me. Somebody's story is changing. I said, somebody's story is changing. I had some very humbling testimonies this week that I can't share. Now, it's not even, like Papa would say, it's not up to my mouth to be sharing it now. Let the person come and share it themselves. Because you people will think I'm lying. Let the person come and share it themselves. And you will know and realize that testimonies are not, they are not bean cake. You know what bean cake is? Testimonies are serious. Your testimony is what will make somebody else not to commit suicide. Just the testimony is the reason somebody thinks, if God can do this, there's no need for suicide. If he has done it for this one, he would do it for me. Very quickly. What to note about testimonies? Very quickly. What should we note about testimonies? Number one, testimonies are prophetic. Testimonies are what? Prophetic. That means testimony, when we're talking about testimony, it is happening in our neighborhood. It will happen for me. Testimonies are prophetic. Testimony means it is happening in my neighborhood. It will happen for me. Testimony means prediction of what has happened to one that can happen to all. Testimonies is a prediction of what has happened to one that will happen to all. It has happened to one, it will happen to all. Hey, the internet is down in our area. Everything is shut down. And then somebody says, well, tell us, Rogers, whatever they are called, they were here. They were in my house yesterday. They put up the internet back, and I know your house is next. Testimonies are prophetic. Prophetic means if it happens to one, it will happen for all. Revelation 19:10. Thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But testimonies requires receiving and believing to see. The testimony you don't receive, the testimony you despise, the testimony you don't believe, you can't find, you can't see. God will only be committed to replicating the testimony we receive and we believe. Luke chapter 1 and verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The testimony received, the testimony believed, the testimony received is the testimony believed, and the testimony believed is the testimony replicated. Testimonies are prophetic. They are not just prophetic. Number two, very quickly, what to note about testimonies? They stir the faith of others to receive their testimonies. When we engage testimonies, it stirs up the faith of others to engage testimonies. Matthew 9:20-22, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Then the faith of the people was stirred up. I listened to your testimony. My faith is boosted that it will also happen to me. I've listened to your testimony. So everybody, they said, look, Jesus, you don't need to pray for these people. We will just lie them down. All of these sick people, we will lie them down. All they need to do is just touch the hem of your garment. Why? Because we have heard the testimony of that woman. They will just touch. You don't need to pray. Because they found out that Jesus didn't even know. You don't need to pray. They will just touch the hem of your garment and everybody will be healed. And everybody that touched the hem of his garment made whole. Testimonies that not only prophetic, testimonies stir their faith. I told you here before, if you have not forgotten, that when I got my visa to come to Canada, in those days, there was this brother that was waylaying me before I left the church and came to me in Kaduna in those days and said, sir, I heard your testimony and that has given me faith, because I thought these people have forgotten about me. He said, that has given me faith, and we'll meet in Canada. And we did meet in Canada. I had forgotten about him. In Toronto, in those days, he just came to me one day and was talking to me. He said, you have forgotten me? I said, it is well. He said, I was the one that came to you that day in Toronto and said, we will meet. Wow! And then we, big hug. You, wow! God did it for me. He did it for you. It will stir up your faith. What you thought that God couldn't do, when you hear that God did it for someone, it must stir up your faith. Ah, if God has done it for this one, it means I'm next. It will do it for me. Somebody hear what you thought was impossible, the King of Glory will put in your hands. Very quickly as we close, examples of those who overcame by testimonies. Number one is David. Examples of those who overcame by testimonies. Number one is David. When David was faced with an impossible situation with Goliath, it went back to his documented testimonies. He went back to his documented testimonies. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 34 to 37, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. They said, how are you going to face this man? It's impossible. David said, well, this is my testimony. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him, I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant also slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the land of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, no. Based on your testimony, go. I don't have any problem again. Just go. When people share, when you share your testimony, you have no idea what effect it has on others. You have no effect. And then somebody will be saying, oh, you know, I'm shy. I'm so shy. I can't share my testimony. But you were not shy when you were asking God for breakthrough. You were crying and crying with no sleep when you were asking God for the breakthrough. Now the breakthrough is here, but all of a sudden you are shy. You know, I don't know what, I don't want people to know what has happened to me. I'm just shy. I'm just shy. I'm just shy. And God is saying, okay, in your shyness and my shyness, do you want me to take back my testimony? Glory to God. The Lord will not take his testimony from you. Tell your neighbor, share your testimony. Number two is Elisha. Number two is Elisha. Elisha brought the son of the Shunammite woman back to life using Elijah's testimony. You know, you may think that people are not paying attention to your testimonies, but they are. And they will replicate that testimony word for word. That's why we are asking people when we are documenting testimonies, what was the case? What did you do? What did God do? So that the reason we are asking that is, this is my situation. What did you do? This was what I did. So that somebody else will also know, okay, this is what I should do in order to get this testimony. We are not interested in the details. We are not interested in the story. We are interested in what you did. That's why they will take the microphone from you if you are making too many story. We are not interested in the story. What was the case? What did you do? What did God do? Before God could do something, you must have done something. So what did you do? What did God do? The Shunammite woman in the time of Elijah. The Bible speaking in 1 Kings 17:17-23, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? O thou, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of the bosom and carried him out of the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched forth himself upon the child's soul, upon the child three times. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And then Elisha was watching when this was happening. So, in 2 Kings chapter 4, 32-36, and when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. The same thing, laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon him twain and prayed unto the Lord, and he went up and laid upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his child, upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned unto his house. The same way that Elijah got the testimony, Elisha got his own. Number three, Peter. Peter was watching when everybody was quiet. Peter was watching what Jesus was doing. They called Jesus and said, well, this child is dead. What is going to happen? Luke chapter 8, 51-56. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John. Now take note, I'm coming to something. Peter, James, and John were the ones there. And the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleeping. The Bible says, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was there. And he put them all out. All those who were unbelievers, laughing. He put all of them out. Don't come and even disrupt my own faith. He put all of them out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straight away, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should not tell no man what was done. Take note of that. They didn't tell anyone, but Peter was paying attention. But no, the other disciples were also paying attention, but they were not paying attention. They saw that the attention Peter was paying was different. How did I know that? Look at this. Acts of Apostles chapter 9, 36 to 40. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, that means case closed, laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring that he would come and not delay to come. They were also disciples. They were there. But they couldn't do anything. They said, no. Peter was the one paying attention. When this kind of thing happened to somebody, let's send for Peter. There's nothing we can do. We were just there. We were not paying attention. In fact, we were some of the people that Jesus sent out. And look at what happened. Verse 39. Then Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought unto him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, exactly as it happened in the times of Jesus. And shewing the coats and garments. Oh, this is what Doc has made. But Peter put them all forth, just like Jesus did. Oh, guys, all of you, go out. And kneel down and prayed. And turning to him, the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. We know you were paying attention. Come and duplicate the testimony. You can reach out for your own testimony in someone else's testimony. Don't despise it. Somebody's sharing testimony of saying, "Oh, you know, it wasn't easy. We didn't know it would happen, but we got our house." And my friend, get out of there. If you want your own testimony, pay attention to somebody else's testimony, because inside your testimony, inside their testimony lies your own. You despise their testimony, you ain't getting nothing. Rise up on your feet. Give God thanks. Somebody's sharing their testimony of health. Plug into it. Don't despise it. Plug into it. Ah, as it is happening for this one, Jesus, I receive my own. Thank you, Holy One, in Jesus' marvelous name. Let me tell you what I do. If I like your testimony, it doesn't end there. I come to you and I say, "Bro, I know they didn't allow you to finish the testimony there. What exactly happened?" You share it with me. I'm taking it hook, line, and sinker. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And somebody is saying, "We are not even sure what they are saying." Say, "We are not sure. We are not sure what he's talking about." Ah, you are robbing yourself of your own testimony. You are robbing yourself of your own next level. Testimonies are prophetic. You hear somebody's testimony, plug into it. Believe in it. Receive it. It will lead to your own. That will be somebody's testimony here. Amen. I said that will be somebody's testimony here. Amen. I said that will be somebody's testimony here. Amen. Testimonies I've heard from our fathers, especially Bishop Thomas Aremu. I'm living it by his grace, because I received it. I believe. I didn't know how it would happen, But I received it, I believed it, and I know, well, all I need to do is to plug into this thing. I don't know, I don't need to know how it will happen, but I know it will happen. If it is happening for him, it must happen for me. Stop looking down on people's testimonies. Stop, and we do that a lot. As a matter of fact, people go to people and say, are you the only one? Why are you sharing too many testimonies? People are looking at you like your trouble is too much. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to share my testimony daily. As I begin to share, it will continue to do. I will share my testimony daily. Daily. Lift up your hands to heaven and give God thanks again. Give him praise and give him glory. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Well, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody's here tonight that wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my personal Lord and my Savior. I did know you before, but I walked out on you. But now I want to return. I want to know you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, so that I can have testimonies. Tangible, touchable testimonies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Someone else wants to say, Lord, I did know you before, but I walked out on you. And now I want to return so I can have multiple testimonies. For anyone like that here in this assembly tonight, I want to know you, Jesus, or I want to rededicate my life. Put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you. Somebody online, put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you. If you are doing that, repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you tonight, just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. Jesus' marvelous name.